The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook app.
Use promo code WMVP.
Tune in every Friday for the official Waddle and Sylvie Same Game Parlay on the DraftKings Sportsbook app.
21 years or older, Illinois only. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
Live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio, you're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow the show on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. This is WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Thank you for listening, calling, and participating today. Another Bears Monday in the books. Thank you to Randy Merkin and Chris Fleck. Fleck's on tonight, 6 to 8 after Waddle and Sylvie. Abdallah's back tomorrow. We're all out and about on Thursday night, 6 to 8 at Binney's. Fleck and Abdallah will do the show live. We got the few barrel pick selection release party that we're going to have with all the listeners. Looking forward to that. Time for a crosstalk with Waddle and Sylvie, brought to you as always by Club Hawthorne and the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. Hello, gentlemen. How was Thanksgiving?
Hey, now. It was good. How about you?
Great. Very good.
Yeah? Good family event? Yeah. Did you cook or was it?
No, we didn't. I cooked, man, an appetizer and some pie. That was it.
All right. Nice.
Responsible for just a couple of things. Yeah.
Did you get all hammered up at all?
Not really.
No?
Not really, no. I'm thinking if there was one night where I was like slightly buzzed, would have been Saturday night with some friends out. We did like a Friendsgiving thing with some of my high school
friends.
So we were out at his house for a while, and I was just a little, but just the right amount.
Just a little.
Just feeling it pretty good.
Sylvie, how was the family event?
It was great. You know me. Nothing like family.
Thanks.
I didn't get hammered either.
No?
Like I got buzzed.
Yeah, buzzed.
Buzzed Wednesday night, buzzed Thursday night, a little buzz on Saturday.
Yeah.
Not over the top any of the nights.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, it's good.
I wasn't like complaining.
There's no reason to wake up the next morning feeling like garbage.
No one
wants to feel like garbage the next day.
We had a football practice. Braxy had football practice.
I saw one video of a catch that was
made
like
a nice diving catch.
Yeah. It was a highlight catch.
Good for him.
Did, yeah.
Like it was tripped.
No, I'll show you. It was not a trap, Yerk. Not a trap. Dan Durkin ran
his hands underneath it, my friend.
We did two practices. We had one on Thursday, and then we're back at it Saturday.
Wow.
How many plays did he have for the kids to learn?
He had about four plays. We're running a zone defense, too. He's teaching them the zone defense.
Yeah.
And we don't actually play a game. Their team doesn't play a game.
Is it too young still?
No, till January.
Oh, till January.
But they're already setting the foundation, teaching them the rules.
Good.
Teaching them the right way to take a hand off, how
good
to put the hands.
Hand up, yes. I like it.
Like
that's good. You got to learn the fundamentals.
Yes.
To the side of the football,
and
yes.
So Durkin's the
absolutely.
Head coach.
Whatever you
Durkin's
want.
Durkin's the head coach.
Good.
Tommy, whatever you need. Take what you like.
I'm told that Yurko called Waddle yesterday to talk a little ball.
Oh, afterwards. We were talking ball. Okay, that's exactly what we're talking about, football.
That's talking ball. What do you think he meant?
No, I know what he meant.
I told
maybe,
him we were,
maybe him and I didn't talk one thing about the Chicago Bears.
We did not. I told him
about other ball.
The reason we were talking was as we were discussing quarterbacks upstairs, and I said to him, I said, the good kid called me just to chit chat, and as he called me, I was watching the San Francisco game in the highlight. I go,
Jimmy just airmailed
somebody, and they're taking it back for a tutty. And then
they had a penalty,
so I came back.
I mean, my God.
You know, I love Jimmy, Jimmy's good for an overthrow pick
once a game. That's why he drives you crazy.
But you know what?
And he's really good, but it's also like...
But, Carm, this is what I say these
18
days.
18 tutties, four interceptions.
Yes, throwing interceptions is not the worst thing in the world.
Give me that phone. Let me see this.
It's not... Was
I'll
like
tell a, you what I see.
Throwing an interception?
No, because, like, I mean, listen, they're going to happen, especially if you're an aggressive passing
big
team.
Gloves.
I know.
Big
like,
gloves.
It was
Mahomes
like,
has
eight of them, I
yeah,
think.
Yeah, like, just keep throwing. Because you know what? The upside for good quarterbacks is going to be there's more good than bad.
Continue it on.
Throw it. I agree.
Yeah.
Does he roll over with the football?
Good job by Braxy.
He did. He
that's what he's got to do. When you have that kind of catch, it looks like a good catch. The point is, though, you got to catch it, and then you get it, then you got to roll over.
Right.
helps show the officials that you've made that catch.
He still has to work
on
the
red football.
He'll still drop a catch every now and then. We're still working.
You know, you also know your kids aren't going to be linemen, so you've got to teach them how to catch and throw.
I know, yeah.
You know, you're not going to have any linemen. They're tight ends. You know, nobody's going to be 6'5".
By the way, speaking of your catch diagnosis, did you see the catch the kid made from the Bengals against the Titans late in the game on the sideline?
Yeah.
That's as good a catch as you saw all Sunday.
As good of a throw and as good of a catch.
Yes. Joe Burrow's playing his ass off.
Dude, we were talking about him before. Yeah. We like Joe Burrow. He's badass.
He is.
I mean, that's
We're fans of Joe Burrow.
He's everything you want.
Yes.
When you draft him number one, that's
He's athletic enough that you can he can turn and burn when he has to.
He's got
the guts of a burglar.
I had to make a decision as a general manager. I had Burrow and Herbert.
Which one?
I was going to trade one. I kept Burrow and traded Herbert.
Right. I don't understand the Herbert angst from some
silliness
recently as well. Like that doesn't like he's been called what a social media quarterback.
That's by Acho. That's not by Sam. By Emmanuel.
Emmanuel Acho.
That's Acho!
It's attention seeking.
That's Libre. All.
The people on Fox on FS1 are looking to make attention seeking comments.
It's nonsense.
Like my God, he's been without his top weapons the majority of the year.
Most of the year.
He lost two tackles, including
an all-pro tackle.
Yeah, he ended up, 35 of 47 for almost 300 yards, three tutties, and no interceptions, and led them down for the game the game tying score and then the two-point conversion. I don't know. He makes throws. You talk about an anticipatory passer and a guy that throws guys open.
Don't forget, when we were sitting at Hooters, Key and I were going at it. Key was arguing with me over Herbert. About the record. I don't know how anyone could put in the tape on Justin Herbert and say he's not a good quarterback.
He's not putting on the tape.
Yeah.
That's exactly why he's saying it, because he's not watching it. That's why. You can't, like you said, Sylvie, watch it and go, he's bad. You can't.
Wins and losses are not a pure quarterback stat.
It's ridiculous. It's complete nonsense.
And that's the criticism, right? Well, they haven't won anything with him. Yeah, well, I mean, look,
he's so good. You'd kill for him. Every team in this league that doesn't have Patrick Mahomes.
Carr would murder somebody for him.
You'd kill for him to be your quarterback.
5,000 passing yards last year after a rookie season where he threw for 4,331 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. He's the guy, Carm. This is the guy I'm telling you, that style. If you throw a pick, because he's thrown his fair share.
Yeah.
He threw 15 last year and 10 the first. The upside that you're going to get with him, just keep being aggressive. You're going to make mistakes. This is what I want them to do with Justin eventually as well.
Yeah.
We're going to throw it 30 times in the final four games of the season and push it downfield. And if it gets picked, so what? We'll live with it. It'll be a learning experience.
Yep. I love that philosophy. I wish they would do that. I fear that they won't, that they're going to be too conservative. But I think you're right.
What's Zach Wilson's record this year?
It's pretty bad. I don't know.
No,
it's good.
5-3 is a starter.
There's only two losses to the Patriots.
Maybe 5-2 is a starter.
It's nonsense.
Not a quarterback stat.
It doesn't make sense. Yeah. What if Justin Herbert was on this Jets team?
Come on, with that defense and Garrett. I mean, please. I mean, really.
With Garrett Wilson? Yeah.
Garrett Wilson.
You can't tell me he doesn't raise the level of play of the guys around him. He does.
He's great.
And, listen, if their coach wasn't,
he's another one. They need to hire Peyton.
Yeah.
I mean,
they will, right?
Especially now because it looks like McCarthy's going to be safe. Some people think it depends on what they do in the playoffs for Jerry to maybe not make a change. I don't know, but you're right, Sylvie. They should zero in on him without a doubt. With the talent that they have at that position and with all that Sean accomplished in this league, that's a match made in heaven. It seems like it.
Don't you think if they moved on from McCarthy, they'd give that job to the D coordinator? No.
Give it to Dan Quinn?
Unless Sean Payton was like, hey, Jerry, I want this.
I don't know.
I don't know either. Dan Quinn's done a brilliant job with that defense.
He really has.
It was fun watching quarterbacks play yesterday because there have been a bit of a lull, I think, in recent times. But when you watch Trevor Lawrence.
He had the best day of his life. Yes. I mean, he was terrific.
He's been good the last three weeks.
Terrific.
But yesterday was the highlight. Maybe Doug Peterson's approach with him is starting to pay dividends.
He was so good yesterday.
Jalen Hurts was fabulous again last night. I mean,
Tua for a half.
Tua
although
was
that
good.
Team is, the team he's playing, it's hard to hard to judge with the, considering the talent on the other side.
Herbert was fantastic.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, Burrow was incredible.
Yeah, Burrow was great.
All around, it was pretty good. Unfortunately, not so much for our beloved team. But
well, what
this is
going to
be a tough watch without Fields, boys, yeah. Depending on how long it lasts. Yeah. That's for sure.
They're a tough watch.
Well, at least he makes it a little bit more
exciting.
That's true. You know, yes. But they're a tough watch.
Like defensively, you got no pass rush, and now you've got.
You got no,
I heard Johnny saying, like, your ninth defensive back is on the field being asked to do
he's
something.
He's got backups at every level in your defense.
Yeah. He's got to cover slot receiver.
Good luck.
And I don't even know his name.
There are
guys
anybody.
On that field. I go, who? Where the hell did this kid come from?
Well, the young kid they just called.
I have
the
no
young
idea.
Kid just played for the first time. Yeah. Who is it? Elijah Hicks, right? Is that his name?
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Was he the safety?
Yes.
Yeah.
Late to the event.
Right.
Most events. He was late to most of them.
That's what happens when you're like the 10th guy. Yeah. Like, hey, you got to go now.
That's why I couldn't have outrage watching that game yesterday.
How could you?
And like,
listen, if you can check your fandom on the corner, off to the side here, like you look at what's going on, and your quarterback has proven he's your future. Okay. You've been competitive in a lot of the games. You haven't won them. Half of your roster isn't going to be on this team next year, and you've got currently the second pick of the draft. Like, I know we're not conditioned to cheer for losing, and that's not but the where you're sitting right now, it's just up to your general manager and your coach to make sure that, you know, with all of this currency you have, you make it work.
I'm telling you, there was nobody in the world happier than the Rascals in Riverwoods yesterday. They were jumping for joy.
Who says who?
Bears lose again. They're out doing cartwheels in the streets, high-fiving each other.
You know, I have not been rooting
Bears
for...
Lost.
I have not
yes!
been rooting. I don't know. Like, I wasn't the one who predicted
it.
9 wins.
That's why you're upset.
You guys want to believe that?
You predicted 9
if
wins.
If that helps you sleep at night, you go ahead and you let that sleep at night, guys. I understand
wins.
What I predicted.
And 9-8.
The one thing I do love, though, and we all have realized over the course of time how crappy this team is, they still almost won 4 football games that were out there. Which is still the point I make about this being a crappy NFL with crappy players, poorly coached players, too. The coaching in this league is horrendous, okay? And those that have the good coaches are the ones that sit there and find ways to win without having the best talent. And them are the coaches you want to look at and say, hey, that's the coach of the year right there. That's who you need to take a look at. But with all that being said, the one thing you've ingrained with everybody on this team is, boy, this team knows how to lose. Yeah. And that's the first thing you've got to do in the offseason.
You
build the talent pool. You get some free agents. You spend a little money. You go into the draft. And now you got to go about the business turning a bunch of losers into winners. Because that's what this team is.
They have a losing roster. That's why they lose.
But even the 30 guys that are going to stick around are losers.
They aren't 30. There won't be 30 guys left on this team.
Absolutely.
I'll bet you on that.
How much you want to bet?
How many are in the roster now? 60?
At least 53 will be
here. No, there's more than 53 here. You better slow down over there.
There's probably 60.
You got a slew of guys on injured reserve. You better check yourself before you wreck yourself.
I'm talking about the active 53 from yesterday. There will not be 30 who were playing yesterday back.
Well, I mean, how many guys are hurt? How many guys are put on injured reserve guys?
Well, who's on injured reserve right now?
The slew of guys. Khalil Herbert. Heavy of individuals.
Khalil Herbert. I'm assuming Mooney's going to be
playing. Well, Mooney played yesterday.
No, I know. But I'm assuming from the rest of the season he's going to be on there.
Eddie Jackson probably will be. I know, but they don't have a lot of guys on injured reserve.
Yeah.
That entire offensive line will be remade.
Entire
defensive line will be remade. Like,
you're bringing in 10 new offensive linemen next year.
They did in Kansas City.
That's what you're going to tell me.
A team that didn't have all the cap room in the world.
You telling me they're bringing in 10 new offensive linemen next year? That's what you're saying to me.
The entire offensive line should be remade. Yes.
Okay.
Out of 5 guys should be remade, other than Tevin James.
Exact words. Those are your predictions.
Starting linemen-wise.
Starters. I had 10 guys. Now we're back to the starters.
I don't know why Tevin is so argumentative.
Okay.
I mean,
Cody Whitehair,
that's what I do.
Right? Cody Whitehair's not going anywhere.
Cody and Tevin, I think, can convince Tevin to get it to play. Well, I mean, as long as he wants to play.
If they believe Braxton Jones is their guy,
then they get him in the weight room and he could be better. He could be better in year 2. How much better can he be?
You have no idea if he can play right tackle or not.
He's playing left tackle now.
You said swing tackle, though. Swing tackle plays both sides. But you don't know. Has he ever played the right side?
Yeah.
Oh, Borum better be gone.
Yeah, I would think Borum's gone. Maybe you got to upgrade center. Patrick, I guess, will do that,
theoretically.
That's another guy on IR.
That's a guy. There's Lucas Patrick, another guy on IR.
I just think this learning how to win thing
is important.
Is a fallacy.
Oh, boy.
It's a fallacy.
Oh, boy. That's beyond the point of being ridiculous.
Hold on. You think the Rams forgot how to win?
I think they're finding ways to lose now, yes.
Do you think the Rams forgot how to win, or they're just a bad football team?
Baltimore Ravens.
Do you think the Bucs forgot how to win, or they're just a bad football team?
Baltimore Ravens have forgot how to win.
Now how
the Baltimore Ravens, the Baltimore Ravens, the Baltimore Ravens,
the Baltimore Ravens, the Baltimore Ravens,
no,
no, no, no,
you're not listening. You're not making a point. You've got a terrible point. The Cincinnati Bengals lost against the Chicago Bears in the second game of the season. Did they learn how? Did they learn how to win, or didn't? Did they learn how to win, or didn't they?
Their roster got better.
Did they learn how to win, or didn't they? Did they? That was last year.
Yes,
so what are you doing now? Are you making
better.
My argument for me, or are you going against my argument?
Yurko,
I'm asking, what are you doing?
The same
are
guy
you making my argument for me?
Was doing it the wrong way. This guy doesn't understand what a rebuild
What's
does.
What's this guy? You made my argument with me. Cincinnati Bengals. You made
John
my argument
Yurkovich
for me.
John doesn't understand
Did
what a rebuild
Cincinnati
looks like.
Did the Cincinnati Bengals look like it or
He's
no?
He's a meatball
Did
who
Cincinnati
just wants to yell
learn
at people.
How to win yet last year, or didn't they? They lost to the Chicago Bears in the second game of the season.
Yeah, it was a bad loss.
They had Jamar Chase already.
Loss.
So what did they do to go to play in the Super Bowl?
What did they do? They went to class.
They learned how to win.
Oh, my God. God,
you're welcome. You're wrong. As usual, you're wrong.
So dumb.
Just admit that you're wrong.
As usual, I love it.
Admit you're wrong.
That Cincinnati Bengals team.
You're wrong.
As usual, you're wrong.
As always, you're wrong.
But that Cincinnati Bengals team won and got to the Super Bowl. Not because so much they learned how to win.
They had a good roster.
Look at their roster. You had T. Higgins. You got
it's the same roster they started at the beginning of the year that lost to the Chicago Bears. So what did they do? They learned how to win.
But Johnny, they lose. You lose games in this league, especially early.
Of course they do. And then what do you do? You learn how to win.
Yeah, but what's more important, learning to win or having a significantly more talented roster?
The Eagles,
what's more important?
The Eagles
they go hand in hand.
Redskins.
Who the Eagles just lose to?
I give up.
They lost to Washington. Washington Commanders.
Teams trip up all the time. It's not because they forgot how to win. It's because teams lose.
Normally,
they
you learn
lost
how to win.
To the Colts.
Normally, you learn how to win when your roster gets better.
When you get better.
When you get better.
What's the final straw, though? The final straw is learning how to win.
This Bears team doesn't have a knowing how to win problem. They have a talent problem.
Of course. Well, nobody's denying that.
They have a talent problem.
But what's the final
step? To bellyache about a bad culture isn't looking at the problem.
What's the final step, though?
You're worried more about your prediction instead of worrying about the rebuild problem, just like the Cubs.
Two things is the development of your quarterback. Tommy said that you have your quarterback. I don't believe that yet. So I still worry about the development of your quarterback.
Okay, but they're not going to draft a quarterback in the first round
this year. I agree
with
you.
True
statement.
So my point is...
That statement has nothing to do whether your quarterback has been developed and he's the answer at your quarterback
position.
He's
still going to be developed. But okay. I'm saying, my point is who you going into the 2023 season as your quarterback.
They're not looking for a quarterback. Justin Fields is going to be your quarterback going into
the 2023. That's the point.
Yes. But your number one concern is still the development
Absolutely.
Of your quarterback.
Absolutely. And that's why he needs to come back and play this year in the final four or five games.
Number two concerned is the overall quality of your roster.
Correct.
That I agree with. Your number three concern is when you have that all addressed is learning how to win.
Okay, so that
there we go.
I think that's what we've been saying. I just laid it out for you. But to dismiss it like it means nothing. I'm not dismissing it, but you ranked it behind it.
You insult him a little bit.
Just a little bit.
A little mouthy.
You listed it as third, and you listed talent as two.
No, development of the quarterback.
I think you're getting mouthy.
I said the Rascals in Riverwoods. The development of the quarterback.
The Rascals in Riverwoods.
That's my appointment. That's my point to you specifically.
Okay.
You're telling me that they're not going to draft a quarterback.
No,
yes, they're not drafting a quarterback. I agree. But that has very little to do with still the development that needs to take place.
No, I'm not telling you he's a finished product. He's got a lot of growth. He's got a lot of improvement. But my point was, you had to come out of the 2022 season deciding whether or not he was going to be the guy you're building with going forward. Because otherwise, otherwise you were going to have to use a high draft pick on one of the quarterbacks because this is a quarterback-rich draft compared to recent years.
You had to come out of the 2023 season saying that, that he's your quarterback, because that's when you've got to make the decision on your quarterback.
Johnny, you were going to, if you're going to replace him now, there's no guarantee that the 2023 or 2024 class of quarterbacks coming out are going to be better than the group that that will come out this year.
Although,
I'm not telling you he's,
the group is gonna
I don't
be
either, but it's better than
I
last
like
year.
CJ, despite what happened?
I'm not telling you that he's finished.
Too small.
A finished product. I'm just saying to you, though, do you think that they are going to go into the 2023 season looking for a different quarterback? No.
If you want
they
to draft one late,
I'm not telling you. They don't have, I mean, you're not forced to pay him yet.
No.
You can find out more about him in 2023, and he's got to make some improvements.
What you've been able to do is push off that decision on the quarterback for a year.
Yes.
That's all you've been able to do.
Yeah.
You've been able to delay that decision for a year because he's done enough with his legs to be able to dictate to you what he does bring to the table is enough to keep him here for another year while he clicks and while he
gets agree with that.
To that next level.
But what I would add to that
decision is time is next year when you've got to pick up the fifth year
option. I don't think it's fair to evaluate him in a conclusive fashion with the group around him.
I wouldn't argue with you.
And let's be more critical of his play next year when the offensive line is better and there's more around him.
I won't argue with you.
Okay, so that's what I mean.
I'm not arguing with you.
Just he's done enough
you
this
bought yourself
year.
Some time.
Yes.
You bought yourself some time.
Before that's we leave, let's now turn our angst. Let's go Hilo Mellor for his desire to have the Bears sign Josh Jacobs in the offseason.
Let's
go,
Mellor. That dropped like that.
He of the 300 total yards plus yesterday?
I was laying out to Yurko. I said, Yurko and I will never get on board with it, but Mellor was making.
How does it make
he's
sense?
He's trying to make some points about, you know.
You're on.
I'm not mad. I can talk philosophically about football.
You could sign some mid-tier other weapons, or you could get the best of the bunch.
The running back?
Yeah. Well,
the best running back?
Look, again, they're spending $6 million on Alex Leatherwood this year to just rot on the bench and not dress. Or
but
you
that
could
doesn't mean you should spend 12 on Josh Jacobs.
I know, but
two bad decisions are worse than one bad decision.
I know. I'd rather do that than re-sign Montgomery for money.
I would do neither. But that's just me.
Here's the thing, though. There are not a lot of holes on this roster.
There are.
There are a ton.
So you're
on
right.
On both sides.
I'm completely with you. You know I've long been your corner. But the way the Bears' current situation is, they've got all of this cap room. They've got all of these holes on the roster. And look at the current free agent class that's up. The real difference makers that you may want to add to your roster are running backs. I'm not saying break the bank and make him the highest paid player. But if there is a level of discount where you're like, you know what? Finally, we might be in an era where teams don't want to pay running backs. And the money ball move might be to say, you know what? A really quality running back like Josh Jacobs might be worth it for $10, $11, $12 million.
All right. It's an interesting argument.
And then you make a million or start as a billionaire? Do you know how you get rid of all of that salary cap money? You spend too much on players that you shouldn't because you have it.
Yeah.
All right.
Be careful. All right.
Your two running backs combined.
Yes.
Have about 250 carries.
Yes.
As I look at it, Derrick Henry's got 247 carries. Yes. Your two running backs combined have rushed for more yardage than Derrick Henry.
Yes.
In the same amount of carries.
Yes.
Okay, that's not including Justin Fields and what he's been running.
Yeah, I wouldn't include that.
I'm not doing that because we're analyzing just running backs.
Right, yeah.
Okay, that's all we're doing. We're analyzing running backs. Same amount of carries. Your two running backs are more productive than Derrick Henry with the same amount of carries. What do you need Derrick Henry for?
Well, you don't, and he's not.
I understand, but then you're Josh Jacobs, and then you go to Saquon Barkley, who's even got less than that.
Mm-hmm. Listen, so I can see the argument. I can see both
you're
angles.
Talking about replacement value. Replacement value. That's what you're looking at. And whatever Montgomery makes and Herbert makes, you add their salaries together, and you've got a more productive running back or running back position than you have at other places. So why would I want to change that? Because somebody is theoretically more dynamic?
Herbert's plenty dynamic as long as he stays.
Right. All right. So I mean, that'd be my argument against it. That's all.
All right. So if you want to weigh in, do you agree with Yurko that this team needs to learn how to win?
Yes.
I don't dismiss it on a team that's more ready to win. I don't believe that this roster is like, I believe they're losing because they suck.
You see the players they're playing with yesterday.
I don't think they've got a culture issue at this point.
And by the way, we have updates on Darnell Mooney. So it's not
too early.
No, you know, they're not learning how to win now.
Manny Eberflus is addressing the media right now. 312-332-3776. It's Packer week as well.
It is. Oh, yes.
Are you ready for Peterman?
That's what you got. Peterman you got his Packer blood was boiling.
Are you ready for Peterman love?
No, Simeon. Peterman.
I can't wait for this one.
What did you think of the shout-out from your guy yesterday that I got?
It was so great. It was so great.
You thought you were his guy.
Peterman, Silverman.
Yes, I got the shout-out.
Peterman, Simeon, Silverman, whoever's playing quarterback for the Bears, I like the Jets winning by 7.
That's what I said. Whoa, excellent. I said,
the Rascals in Riverwoods right there.
You know our guy loves a shout-out. I considered that a shout-out.
Yeah. Rascals.
This is a shout-out. The Rascals in Riverwoods.
I've been working on that all weekend. All right.
I had the boys from back. Where is it? What's the next one?
Bannockburn?
Bannockburn. The boys from Bannockburn. The dads from Deerfield, I had it all. I don't know where the hell these guys live.
You know all the alliteration?
I don't know where the hell these guys live.
And we tweet
the kids from Kenilworth.
We're bringing back the Tyler Aki shout out from earlier, too, today.
And he's calling him Taylor. He's like, I call him Akeem, but Taylor. And I'm like, do you mean Tyler?
By the way, West Virginia is the other team they beat up there in that tournament.
All right, ring up the phones. 332-3776.
Goodbye.
We're coming out.
Sylvia or next.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, a lot going on today. It's going to be a crazy week in a great way. Holiday Parody Song Contest heating up. This is right in the heart of it. We have only 2 weeks to go in this. Waddle, I don't know if you know this.
Did not really pay attention to the timing of it all, to be honest.
The deadline is on December 9th. So get your holiday parody songs in at ESPNParody.com. We'll debut some today.
I was going to say, I'm assuming we've got quite a batch that came in the last several days.
We got some fresh songs, yeah.
Also,
fresh batch, just for you, my man.
Thank you, bro.
We're going to be out several times this week, including Friday for Packer Week. Friday, we're going to be out in Lakeview. Not many city events that we do, but we will be out in the city in Lakeview.
Previewing Love versus Simeon.
Is that what it's going to be?
Isn't that what it's going
to
be?
I hope not. I mean, the meathead in me would like to see Justin Fields.
Well, if he's healthy, then go.
And I'd also be, I won't rage against if they want to sit him for another week, because I think they definitely made the right call this week. And if they want to give him another week and then the bye week and then sort of redo the offense in another way where they throw him more in the last four games, I'm fine with that. So if they want to rest him against the Packers, that's fine too. But we will be at Cody's Public House in Lakeview. That's at 1658 West Berry. It's all brought to you by Miller Lite. So come on out this Friday. Waddle and I will be out at Cody's Public House in Lakeview. Tyler, you were just there.
I was there Friday, yeah.
Socially, right?
Yeah.
Just by coincidence?
I live right in the area, and it's a great spot.
Did you have some drinks?
I did have some drinks. I did, Waddle. Some Miller Lights, actually.
Nice. You said the picture of us, we're on the bathroom wall?
Yeah, where
we
belong. Are everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere. You're on the door. You're on the bathroom door.
Don't we have a similar spot? Didn't we have a similar spot in one of the stadiums, whether it was Guaranteed Rate or it was UC?
We're
right outside a bathroom.
Yes. Guaranteed Rate Field.
That's where it was. Yeah.
Speaking of that, Jose Abreu officially an Astro.
And not just that. You signed yourself Mike Clevenger.
The White Sox did.
Yeah.
Not me. Not you. The White Sox did. There's something. We're warming up now. It's not necessarily a hot stove. It's a preheated stove.
Early stages of preheating, like when you just turn it on, right, and it's 100 degrees.
175, perhaps, is where the stove is at. So, yeah, if you want to, whatever you want to weigh in on. But I promised you the Mooney update. Matt Eberflus, this is not a surprise, according to Courtney Cronin. He's meeting the media now. We'll play you some of it. Darnell Mooney will undergo surgery on his ankle and is likely out for the year.
That stinks.
Yes.
On a number of fronts?
It stinks on a number of fronts because not only for Darnell Mooney, but for the offense. And when Fields does return, if you do want to remake the offense in another sort of version of this offense, what would this be? 3.0 this year?
Yeah. I mean, I want to see the focus of the offensive game plan change for the final stretch games here, where they work on throwing the ball downfield and work more on the passing game. They've established that they can run it. I'd like to see them do some of that. And to do that, and to help your quarterback develop in that aspect of the game, it'd be nice to have your best route runner.
Yes.
And your best overall receiver, and that has been Darnell Mooney.
So that's another problem, again, when Justin Fields in this offense has been playing shorthanded with skill guys all year, and now you're taking away Darnell Mooney from the equation once Justin Fields does return.
So, yes, that will not help that cause, as it was described. It sounds like, though, that will give more opportunities to Chase Claypool, which could be a good thing.
Yeah.
He was a little banged up yesterday at the end of the game, too. I'd be interested to hear what happened there.
Has Eberflus, you've been following this, has Eberflus given you a Chase Claypool update?
He said just day-to-day.
Okay. They're all day-to-day.
We'll learn more on Wednesday.
All of us are day-to-day.
And then what was the other big update? That Alex Leatherwood could start at right tackle?
Yeah, so Larry Borum and Riley Reiff each are battling some injuries right now, so that could lead to Alex Leatherwood getting onto the field.
As Sean Payton said yesterday, you could actually probably give it a spin at right tackle, too.
No, not at like quarterback.
I think he may be better at right tackle.
No.
If
I'm your right tackle,
I think you're probably
even worse than it with Borum than right tackle. If I'm your right tackle.
Do you think, guys, would you rather, if Sylvie was going to play a role on your favorite team's offense, would you rather him be the quarterback or the right tackle? Knowing you have a right-handed quarterback.
Yeah. Oh, right tackle.
Right tackle, sure. No question. I'm giving you the nod at right tackle.
I can give you some help, Chip.
Are you sure?
No, I'll hand it off.
Really?
Yeah, I can hand it off.
Awfully one-dimensional. Teams pick up on that fairly quickly.
You don't want me on your offensive line. That's for damn
sure. I don't want you as my quarterback
but
I think that you're scrappy enough to bite some kneecaps at the right tackle spot.
I think Sean Payton laid it out accurately yesterday.
Yeah. Listen, Peterman, Simeon, Silverman, whoever's playing quarterback for the Bears, I like the Jets winning by 7.
Whoa.
Excellent.
So weird because I never really am watching any part of the pregame show, and it was late in the pregame show before the Bears started, and I was watching. And it was like, what did I just hear?
Did you tell the boys he was talking directly about you?
You know it, right. That's on a loop in our house right now. The Rascals in Riverwoods.
Yeah, the Rascals got to know that he was talking about their dad.
As Yurko called it. And it got heated, as it tends to on Monday. Yurko's in a bad mood on Mondays because he's doing this post game on Sunday. And he's pissed about his win total, that it was at 9. I just want to clarify this. I am not happy about 3 wins.
No.
There's not one part of me that is ever happy about a 3-win season. But let the record show that my anger was always at its peak in 2021 and 2020 because I knew this was coming in 2022. Because of what happened in 2020 and 2021.
They delayed the inevitable.
I knew that the crap storm that had arrived, that when the eye of the storm was over Chicago in 2020 and then in 2021, that this was inevitable in 2022. That when Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy were doing this so poorly, when ownership, and I was yelling at everyone and Bears fans about it starts at the top, and that they didn't make the move before then, that the rebuild was going to have to eventually come because they had made so many careless moves that we would eventually have to pay the piper. And it was why I was so mad in 2020 and in 2021. And I was shouting at the mountaintops. I was mad at Ted. And I'm still mad at him. And I'm still mad at George. I'm still mad at all of them. And but I knew what I signed up for in 2022. I knew that because they had driven the franchise into the side of the road, that this was the price we would have to pay. That a rebuild is, it has to be this. A rebuild has to be stripped back. If you want to do it right, there can be no more Ryan Pace Band-Aids. You cannot take a Ryan Pace Band-Aid of Andy Dalton again. And you're seeing what Andy Dalton's doing to New Orleans. They got shut out yesterday. These Ryan Pace Band-Aids cannot be handed out anymore. That you have got to be fixed for good. And in order for that, it's going to hurt in the meantime. And you're going to be really, really bad. And there have been some people on this radio station and some of the fans who didn't want to admit it. And people were going after Louis Riddick when they were playing in Seattle, who didn't want to. When we were telling you the power rankings before, who could be the worst team in the league? Who could be one of the worst teams in the league? The Bears were always part of the equation. And we're not rooting for losses, but part of the consolation prize for losing games is a higher draft pick. And so now that we've already knew what was coming as a part of a 3-win season, we're going to accept the fact that they're going to draft second. Now the hard part happens. Ryan Poles has to be much better than Ryan Pace. Ryan Poles has to draft good players. Ryan Poles is going to have to, if they are drafting second, going to have to be a shrewd general manager and have to make some really good trades. And he's going to have to acquire even more talent. And he's going to have to trade for really good talent. And he's going to have to draft really good players. It's easier said than done. So, yes, I'm thankful right now they're drafting second. But I knew what they were going to be. I'm not outraged. I'm surprised that there are people who are outraged with the line they trotted out there, with Darnell Mooney going down, with already your leading rusher out of the game on IR and Herbert, with your starting quarterback of the present and the future already out of the game, with that defense the way it is, then anyone could be outraged over that game against the New York Jets. I'm shocked by it.
Yeah, I'm not outraged. I've been really consistent feeling the same way as you just described. Look, I thought 2022 was the tear it down to the studs year. I picked them to win 6 or 7 games, in large part because of some of the logic that the good kid uses, that the league is very mediocre. But you knew that the roster didn't stack up with other teams in this league, and you knew, or you thought there was a good chance that defense was going to get worse because the team was going to entertain trade thoughts as you got closer to the trade deadline for Robert Quinn, and knowing that they weren't able to come to an agreement with Roquan Smith in the preseason, you thought that was a likely destination for him, too, to be dealt. So you knew that a team that was below average was going to lose a couple of their best players on defense, which would bring on more pain, so to speak. So I think you can actually zoom out, and while nobody is cheering for anything, and I would be, to address the concept of the losing culture, I'd be more concerned if this was a ready-made team filled with veterans where there wasn't a lot of flexibility. If that was the case, then I would agree with what Johnny's talking about is, look, you develop bad habits. I don't think you're going to recognize this roster when it goes to the gate in August of next year. I think there's going to be a ton of turnover. And I think everyone came into this year understanding what the goal was. So I don't believe that this team has been infiltrated with a losing culture at this point.
Right.
Let's see next year. Like I said all along, my patience will expire when next year comes. And I'm not expecting them to be a Super Bowl team. But at that point, with all that you have at your disposal and you being in charge of your own program, and knowing that you can go last to first in this league quicker than any other professional leagues, next year you should be competing to get into the postseason. If you're looking like this next year, Again, I don't think they're going to be a finished product in 2023.
Right.
I will be more than a little bit angry.
And then I was talking to some of the guys on the Thanksgiving break in my neighborhood about this. Some people were surprised by my expectations over next year. I want to throw that off of you, and I think you and I see eye to eye on this. 312-332-3776 if you want to weigh in. Were you mad over yesterday? Do you understand what we're preaching here? Like, this is year one of a rebuild. I don't understand how anyone can be so shocked that this team only has 3 wins. Like, at least the quarterback has you believing in the future. And now it's up to Poles to get the job done. There are a few things, though, that make you worry about that. And we could talk about that. The Claypool trade is one of them. 332-3776. More coming up.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
I was talking to some guys while we were watching the 6-year-olds practice football. And we'll talk about next year.
Guys were chopping it up?
Yeah. I got a funny story for you later, too, about that. But someone said, what do you expect next year? And I said, I expect the Bears to be battling to be a 500 team. And they laughed. And I go, well, why would you laugh at that? And how could you say that? And Look at the New York Giants. And they said, well, do you think the Giants are good? And I said, I'm not telling you the Giants are good. The Giants are 3 games above 500.
Yeah.
They're above 500 right now. Atlanta is a couple games below 500 right now. There are teams that you weren't expecting.
Seattle's a game over 500.
Did you expect the Seattle Seahawks to be above 500? Did you expect the New York Jets after benching their quarterback to be 3 games above 500.
I think people were expecting less of the Giants than even the Jets, weren't they, in the offseason?
Did you expect the Commanders, after the way they started in benching their quarterback, to be two games over 500? In this league, and especially with the Bears division being open, again, and I think you have this expectation too, I'm fine with where they are now.
Yeah.
They're in a rebuild. But if you make the right moves in free agency with drafting the right people, a lot easier said than done. The hard part is coming up for Poles. But they should compete to be in that 500 range next year.
Yeah,
getting Justin Fields right.
They've added a wild card spot, too. Like, there's 3 wild cards now.
Right. 7 playoff teams.
Yeah, 7 out of, what, 16 teams? Like, In your conference, you only have to be nearly in the top half, right? Almost half of the teams go to the postseason in each conference.
Right.
And I would expect them next year to be competing for spot 7, 5, 6, or 7.
Right. I don't see why 8 and 9, 9 and 8...
That may win the South in the NFC this year. Right now,
the
Tampa Bay Buccaneers have the lead at 5 and 6. The Atlanta Falcons are 5 and 7. Like, I expect this team to compete for a playoff spot. I don't expect them to be a Super Bowl caliber team. There are a lot of holes on this team. You're going to have to not only rebuild your offensive line and add talent in your huddle offensively, you're going to have to completely rebuild the front 7 of your defense for the most part. So you've got a lot of work to do if you're Ryan Poles. Are you going to get it all done in this offseason? No, you're not. Like, my expectation level for 2024 will be even higher. But my expectation level for 2023 is that you compete to be a postseason team, because nearly 50% of every both conferences get into the tournament.
Right. The Jets are a good model. But you have your
draft
quarterback.
Well.
They don't. And like, that's where I think the Bears have a bit of an advantage. Now we got to see what kind of steps Fields will make and how well Poles will do. All right, if you want to weigh in, 312-332-3776. We'll take all your calls coming up. We'll play you what Matt Eberflus had to say today. Bears lose yesterday. Darnell Mooney's probably out for the year. He's got to undergo surgery. We still don't know Fields' timeline, if he could play against the Packers or if he's going to be sitting through the bye, and then we'll come back after that for the final four games. We'll talk to you, 332-3776.